Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Every few weeks on Open House, we touch base with Steve Krieger, one of our great housemates. He's our guru on new media and social media. And every time we chat, I think there's a great deal to talk about with this ever-expanding, sometimes mind-blowing arena of our lives. And this week is certainly no exception. Steve Krieger, welcome.
Thanks, Lee.
Now, there are two overarching arenas we're going to cover today. First, the really interesting ways in which businesses and corporations are adopting and adapting to social media. And second, a couple of things happening with and about Facebook. Let's look at business first. Number of ways they're actually getting social media, I think because they have to these days. And we're now talking about geolocation smartphones and how they can be used. Tell us more.
Yeah, this is interesting. So geolocation has been around for a little while now. And basically it means that your phone, your smartphone, is able to detect where in the world you are. Now, one of the benefits for that is when you're in a particular location, as I was last week, I was down in Crow's Nest and I was going to go somewhere for lunch. I was able to pull up on my phone a list of all the local businesses nearby who had a deal for lunch.
This with an app on your
That's
phone?
That's right. So with an app, the app's called Foursquare. You can do it with other apps like Facebook as well. And it will tell me, based on where I am in the world, what deals I can plug into. And so at the local burger joint, they were offering, if I checked in, and check-in is free, you just indicate that you are at that store and press the check-in button and you're away. And a little coupon came up on my phone that said that I was entitled to a free small chips with any burger that was purchased.
Yum.
And so, yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, getting something for nothing, we all like that. So
Yeah. More
and more businesses are taking advantage of this as a way of capturing customers. And if you think about it from a business perspective, it's really useful. I mean, there's all the restaurants and cafes that you could choose from. This is a way to differentiate themselves and to attract my business.
Mad if you don't.
Yes.
And people are able to check in on quite a wide range of businesses.
That's right. And so what we're seeing increasingly, I mean, it was previously used for, originally used for food-related businesses, but we're seeing now people like 7-Eleven, the Commonwealth Bank, KFC, Angus and Coote, Cotton On, all of these businesses are taking advantage of this whole geolocation trend and offering deals. So, for example, Angus and Coote is offering 30% off for a week. So they're kind of using some time-based geolocation deals. So if you check in on Facebook to their store indicating that you are in their store, they'll give you a 30% discount. And so businesses are looking really at four different types of deals. There's the deal of the discount, the deal of the group purchase. So if you four or five or however many friends check in, they get that deal together. Loyalty, so the more times that you visit that store, you get the discount. And finally, charity. So if you check into a store, that store will donate some money to a particular charity. So there's lots of ways that businesses are trying to make use of this.
Because they have to now.
Absolutely.
Fight back against this online shopping colossus.
Absolutely. I think businesses are really struggling to know what to do as more and more people are going online. I was chatting with a friend last week who works for a music store, and he was explaining that their music store, which takes up two stories of prime retail space, is deserted a lot of the time. And people come in and use it really as a demonstration room. They want to try out a guitar, a piano, some other piece of musical equipment. They find what they like, and then they go and buy it online.
Yeah.
And so they don't really know what to do, and businesses are struggling to cope with the number of sales that are moving offshore.
Yeah. Now, at the same time, when we're talking about businesses, Coke has come up with a very innovative Facebook app.
It's novel. I'm not sure whether I would give it a go, but so the basic premise is that you can go onto their Facebook app and you'll be presented with a list of all of the various Coke brands, your Fanta, your Sprite, your Coke, and within the app, you're able to mix your own drink and then name your drink. And then the really novel part of this is that Coke is now rolling out some physical vending machines where you can create these drinks yourself.
So a bit of Coke, bit of Fanta, bit of this, bit of that.
Yeah, I'm not sure how it works, because how do you know how those flavor combinations taste in reality?
So, well, they're giving you an option of 125 flavors.
Yes. I mean, really, I mean, Coke and Fanta, I mean, who wants that? So,
I know. That's a very good question, but anyhow, it's innovative.
They're trying it out. Good luck to them.
They're putting it out at about 1,500 vending machines. Also, Ticketmaster launching an interactive seat map for some 9,000 events, so I can see where my Facebook friends are sitting at a concert.
Mm. Yeah, this was interesting. So Ticketmaster had done some research to discover that people would buy tickets to particular events if they knew where their friends were sitting. And in fact, that when they share their purchases online, people are likely to spend $5 more. So Ticketmaster has worked out this great scheme, and it looks really interesting, that when you're buying a ticket to a concert, you're able to see where in that venue all your friends are sitting, and you could, if you wanted to, go and sit near them, or conversely, you could go and sit further away.
I don't want to be seen, actually.
Yes. So, interesting. I mean, you don't need that necessarily, but what they've discovered as well is that this is kind of taking people back to the original days of buying tickets. You know, you'd get all your friends together and you'd go down to the ticket store. And that was your way of being able to sit with your friends. Now, because, you know, we don't necessarily talk to each other as much as we did in the past, we need flags on a computer screen to tell us.
Because of, quote, social media, which is an interesting thing. So let's go to Facebook, speaking of that.
Mm.
Very interesting that on the back of Google Plus, it's now finally caved in on this enhanced security thing.
Mm. Well, let's look at the key benefit to Google+, and this is the thing that I love most about it, is that it enables you to put all of your friends, all of your contacts, your colleagues into particular circles. And so that means that I can share any ideas or thoughts or comments with just that circle, whereas Facebook is a much more public medium.
Yes.
So everything, it's much harder to restrict what I post and limit that to particular groups of people. Now, Facebook has seen the threat that Google Plus has with this particular feature, and is now changing some of its privacy settings and some of its features so that people can just post content to particular groups of people, and we're likely to see that rolled out.
A lot of people on Facebook have been saying this for a long time, that
absolutely,
they should be going there.
Yeah, I mean, people, there's been so many complaints for such a long time about Facebook because their privacy settings have been so difficult to navigate. They've always been on the back foot. They've only responded after a long period of complaints and issues and privacy concerns. Now it looks like Google Plus could be the impetus for them to really have to start thinking about this more proactively.
So can you explain in practical terms what the security concerns were? Some of it I know is that, you know, I, as a person who might have been photographed, don't have the control that I probably should over where that photograph goes.
Absolutely. That's one of the concerns that they're seeking to address, so that if I tag you in a photograph, which basically just means I label you as being part of that photo, you had no control over that. So if you didn't want to be tagged, you couldn't do anything about it. Mm. And that's a real concern for people. Just because you're at a party doesn't mean that you wanted to tell the world that you're at that party. And so Facebook is now locking down that particular issue. But it's hard for them because this world of social media is changing constantly, and our understanding of what privacy is and what privacy looks like is, you know, it's how do you nail that down?
When we're taking so many decisions to put ourselves out there,
absolutely,
and ditch our privacy.
Yes.
Well, okay, finally on Facebook, they reckon it's actually improving our social ties, which kind of doesn't surprise me, but I think, well, what is a social tie in the virtual world as opposed to face-to-face?
Mm. Yeah, this was a study that came out of the States that concluded that social networking users, and particularly Facebook users, had more close friendships and social support on average than other people. And so based on the research that they did, they found that people were at 5 points out of 100 more close relationships if they were on social networks than if they weren't. So, I mean, that's interesting. I think social networks do have a key role to play in us keeping up with our friends and our family and sustaining some of those relationships. But it's equally easy to point to other examples of people who know hundreds and hundreds of people on Facebook and yet still feel completely isolated and lonely.
As their kind of friend, but at the end of the day, they're really not.
Yes.
They're in this virtual world.
Yes.
We should finish tonight with Steve Jobs. What a huge bit of news that is.
Mm.
Stepping down as CEO of Apple. Poor guy, no doubt, because of ill health.
Yeah, I mean, it's sad to see him go, and their stock price is going to be affected because of that. I mean, Steve Jobs has really brought that company from nothing to one of the biggest companies of the world, and yet with still numerous new innovative world record-breaking products to be released in the next couple of months. It's a sad time for Apple and an uncertain time for them. But Steve Jobs, an incredible man. I mean, the work that he did with Pixar and Apple to bring those two companies to be two of the most innovative, groundbreaking companies that the world has seen. He's done an amazing job.
A lot of his success was not so much as a manager and as a corporate, but as much as anything else, a designer, a master of taste.
Yeah, and one of the things that really set Steve Jobs apart was his desire to focus just on a couple of things and do those things well.
Yes.
So whenever they had a new product that was being released, they'd have hundreds of different ideas for amazing things that they could do to incorporate into that product. And he always resisted the challenge to incorporate all of those things. And his philosophy was just to do a few things and to do them exceptionally well and then build on that with the next version of the product rather than seeking to make it everything that could be in the very first iteration. And as we've said, I mean, Apple is now not just a product, it is a beautiful piece of furniture designed to sit in your lounge room. And who would have thought, I mean, Apple, even 10 years ago, many people hadn't really heard of them or would never have considered buying them.
Yeah.
Now it really is the PC and the tablet of choice for many people.
Steve Krieger, love our chats every few weeks. Thanks so much for joining us again.
Thanks, Lee.
On Open House.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.